The Coffee Break at Liberty Podcast, episode 15. Welcome back, everybody, to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with your host, me, Leo Sowers. Gino's not with us this week. He's at the borders. He's spending time hanging out with other dogs, doing Liberty stuff out there. So you just got me, and he's probably wide awake, not sleeping on the job. Before we jump into this week's podcast, I want to remind you guys about the CoffeeBreakLiberty.com store. If you go to CoffeeBreakLiberty.com, the upper portion of the page there, there's a tab for the store. Click on it and you're going to find mugs, t-shirts, laptop cases, phone cases, all with the Coffee Break Liberty logo on them. There's also other mugs out there on that page with different libertarian-esque and anarchist logos and symbols and things like that. So go check it out at coffeebreakliberty.com. And when you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, you're going to get hit with a prompt if you wait for about 10 to 15 seconds to sign up for a newsletter. And I'm telling you, sign up for the newsletter. Because one, I don't send out newsletters. So you're not going to get a whole bunch of junk in your inbox. And two, right then when you sign up for that newsletter, you're going to get a discount code for 10% off of your first order from the CoffeeBreakLiberty.com store. So go to CoffeeBreakLiberty.com, sign up for that newsletter, and buy yourself a mug. For this week's first topic, I want to discuss what's been all in the news these last couple days, and that's Israel and Palestine and the Palestinians going at each other once again. I'll admit, before I used to be very, pro-Israel and, rah, 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 Israel can do what they want. They're the ones being oppressed. And right now, after all these years, it took me a while to get here, but I don't care anymore. I don't care about either one of them. You want to fix this problem? You're not going to fix it, right? These people have been killing each other for 2, 3, 4, 5,000 years, whichever text you want to read. This problem isn't going to be fixed, and I'm sick and tired of it. What disgusts me and bothers me more is that it's the innocent people that get in the way. They get killed. The people in power, the warmongers of Hamas, those that are in power of Hamas and the Palestinian tribes and all that, they're the ones that keep holding on to this power. They're not the ones suffering the consequences. Sure, there was a few that were killed in a building. So what? Some guy comes and takes his place and takes the power. It's a few select, it's this ruling class of Hamas and the Israeli government, once again, just killing each other, just killing these innocent people that just want to live their lives. Hamas is getting all these people riled up that they need to launch rockets into Israel, and the Israeli government is getting people riled up that, their lives, their livelihood is always threatened just because Palestinians are, right next door. And the only people truly to blame are those in power, the ruling class of both sides of this conflict. It's disgusting. There's no end to it. And quite frankly, my care meter, how much I care about this, has gone off a cliff. I wish they would all live in peace. I really do. I think we all do. But by now, if you're my age, especially, you remember this stuff from, the time we were kids. Heck, if you're 40 years old, 50 years old, this has been going on since you were a kid. Honestly, my parents are in their 60s and 70s. This has been going on for as long as they can remember. It's not going to stop. It's been going on for thousands of years prior to that. It's disgusting. And the only people that want to keep it going are those in power, are the ruling class of both sides. The Palestinian people and the Israeli people, for the most part, they don't care. They want to live in peace. They want to sit down, eat dinner with their families, and not have to worry about being blown up by some rogue rocket or some bomb being dropped by an F-16 overhead. They want to live their lives. It is these governments that are the problem. These rulers of Hamas and the Israeli government, those in power, they're the ones that keep pushing this. Yeah, there's a few outlying bad actors. Sure, I'm sure you could find them. Oh, look, there's there's this sect over here. No, see, they're not part of the government, but they want to kill everybody anyways. Well, yeah, you're always going to have that. But for the most part, these people want to live their lives. Yeah, there's animals over there. There always have been. And they treat each other like trash. And they have, and will continue to do so. Sadly. But I'm done caring. I'm done choosing sides, or, you know, because now you have to pick a side, right? You have to pick a side. Either you're pro-Israel or you're pro the Palestinians, right? You can't just be like, you know what, screw it, forget it, I don't care anymore. But that's, you know, honestly, these people are going to kill each other regardless. That's what's going to happen, sadly. So I refuse to pick a side. If I'm going to pick a side, my side is the pro-peace side. The one that ends this. The one that sees the ousting of the ruling class from Hamas, the Hamas leadership, and the Israeli leadership. It's these rulers that keep wanting to perpetuate this war, because the longer the war, the bigger the war, the more it grows, the more power they get, the more money they get, the more powerful they become. Those are the ones that benefit from this. The Israeli people or the Palestinian people, they don't benefit from what's going on over there. It is that small, select ruling class. And in all honesty, you know, I don't have an answer for the problem, right? Really, you know, I'd like to think that, yeah, you get rid of these rulers, you get rid of them, get them out of the way, it's all going to stop. I hope that it would. I think we all hope it would. But none of us know. That's always one of the drawbacks, or, you know, self-awareness issues of being like a libertarian or an anarchist or a minarchist, right? We don't know. And at least we got the huevos to admit it. Everybody else thinks they got it all figured out. They don't have it figured out. If somebody tells you they got it figured out, they got the solution for what to do in the Middle East to figure it all out and to end it all, to make everybody live, oh, you need this, you need to do this. They don't know. They have no idea. The situation over there, sometimes it seems, you know, black and white, and sometimes it seems gray, but in all honesty, it's just a mess. If you were to just start back from the 40s, right, when Israel became a state, if you just go back to then and read the history from then, that's only, what, 70 years, right? 60, 70 years? It's a mess. It's a disaster. You just read book after book and you're like, this is insane. Now, try to imagine that that situation has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. American democracy is not going to fix it. American bombs aren't going to fix it either. Russian bombs and rockets aren't going to fix it. Chinese rockets and bombs aren't going to fix it. It's a mess. Quite frankly, I'm just tired of it. Because innocent people keep dying for no reason. Just so the ruling class can hold on to their power. That's it. Nothing more. They will sacrifice the people they claim to help, they claim to care about, just so they can hold on to a little bit more power. It's sick. The second topic of this week's podcast is about the cyber attack taken out on the pipeline in the southeast of the United States. This caused a panic, and it was kind of ridiculous, right? It caused this big panic, you know, and everybody's saying, hey, there might be a gas shortage, you know, or it might get, you know, the prices might fluctuate, this, that, or the other. And then what happens? Well, everybody just freaks out in that region and starts buying gas like it's going out of style. So there wasn't really a gas shortage to begin with. And then one happened, because there's tens of thousands of miles of pipelines, by the way, people. There's oil flowing every which direction. So two things about this, though. First, I want to kind of hit on something I hit on the Facebook page, and that's price gouging. Haven't really talked about it, not at all on the podcast, but I even haven't talked about it in the blog for some time, probably some hurricane a long time ago. And price gouging is a lazy, lazy, lazy way of misunderstanding supply and demand. It's not price gouging. It's supply and demand. That's all it is. The demand is so high and the supply is so low that the price goes up. It's not that difficult. And people that get all upset about it, oh my goodness, how could you do this? That's price gouging. That's price gouging. Well, it's ridiculous, right? Like, they don't understand simple supply and demand. I always shoot back with, you know, an example like this. Hey, have you sold a house ever? Oh, did you sell it for a profit? Well, that's price gouging. So you're no better than them. And then their jaw drops and their, you know, their eyes glaze over because they don't understand. They have no idea. Prices fluctuate. That's the whole point. They have to be elastic. You're not going to fix prices. That doesn't fix the problem. That makes it worse. So no, this price gouging garbage. Yeah, I get it. It sucks when somebody is charging you $7 a gallon for gas and you need gasoline. I get it. That sucks. That's horrible. But that's supply and demand. The second point on this cyber attack that I've been thinking about, at least, you know, going through a thought experiment here. This is the new face of warfare for civilized countries. Civilized, I shouldn't say civilized, you know, technologically advanced countries. You don't have to bomb a country into submission anymore if you can shut down gas pipelines, shut down water pipelines in your enemy's country. You know, one thing I had spoken with a few friends about over this last year with the whole TikTok revolution and how many people have TikTok. I looked it up yesterday, actually. The internet is saying, there's one website saying that 100 million Americans have TikTok on, I guess, their phones, or they visit the website. I don't understand how they're really getting that metric, because that seems pretty high. But let's just say it is 100 million Americans, right? For those who don't know, that comes from a Chinese app maker, right? And the whole thing, you know, with Trump was all concerned, oh, that's actually, you know, spying on your stuff, and it could be stealing your data, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to get into if that is happening or not, because the evidence that it was happening wasn't that strong, but it definitely could. It certainly could. You want to throw a country into chaos? Everybody that has TikTok, right? Just empty their bank account. You know, if it is really like spying on their data and China has pretty much access to these people's phones, empty those people's bank accounts. You're going to throw a country into chaos. You don't have to bomb a country. The country will rip itself apart. Could you imagine, right? Let's say it's 100 million people. All their bank accounts go to zero. That's a third of the country. You'll have riots in every street of every city. You know, look at, you know, the house to the left of you, or the house to the right of you, or maybe your house. Everybody, that house is going to have $0 in the bank account. You know, I'm just like, this is a thought experiment, right? This is the new face of warfare for these technologically advanced countries. You don't have to bomb a country into submission. You don't have to defeat a military anymore. You just defeat the people. Then the military is too busy trying to keep peace at home, right? Shut down gas, shut down water pipelines, shut down power plants. You'll throw a country into chaos. And I think that the cyber attack, you know, on this pipeline is a very good example of what it would look like in just one facet, right? That's just gasoline. Gasoline is used for mostly, right? Just getting to and from work, you know, getting around. Let's say you turn off the power to people's houses. So now the food that they do have goes bad. You shut the water off. Now they can't drink, you know, unless they've got bottled water, but that's going to dry up eventually. Not to be a doomer or, you know, trying to act scary or whatever, but it's just, that's something to keep in mind, right? Like, this is the new face of warfare, or could be. And it's just basic disaster preparedness, honestly. Like, the pipeline is already back up and running. I read earlier from Wall Street Journal that it looks like they paid that ransom to get the pipeline back up, to get access back to their pipeline so they can get it back up and running. So now it proves that it works, right? They were in such a panic that instead of trying to fix the problem and not pay the ransom, they said, forget it. We're going to pay the ransom and get it fixed this way. We'll just have to defend ourselves better next time. But a lot of this could have been avoided for a lot of people. You know, the heartache by just basic disaster preparedness, right? You should always have 2-3 weeks of food available. Water as well. Have 4 or 5 cases of water. It's cheap and it keeps. and just go through the water. You'll be fine. You know, it's what, $3-4 for a case of water? One of the old podcasters that I used to listen to, you know, he brought it up this way. He said, you know, what would happen in your neighborhood, in your city where you live, if the power went out for 7 days? Well, that happened here in Texas in the winter to some people. The power was out for one of my friends in Dallas for 7 days. That's a long time. Like, even in Florida, when they have hurricanes, it's usually, you know, 4 or 5 days tops, not seven. Sometimes it's seven, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it is. You know, when you had, you know, when New Orleans got hit, gosh, 15 years ago now, it was pretty bad. So this is just something to be aware of, right? That's all I'm trying to say. This is the new face, could be the new face of warfare, and you can avoid a lot of the heartache by being just prepared simply, you know. Have gas, have a storage of gas. 10, 15, 20 gallons of gas, you know, stored in your garage, and just cycle it out. You know, every few months, put that in your gas tank and then fill it up again. Water, food, that's the basics. It's something to be aware of, and if we're going to be more self-sufficient and self-efficient, it's just something to, you know, keep in mind. I'm not trying to, like, sound like a prepper or whatever, but it doesn't take much to throw a community into panic. Gosh, when we lost power here in Texas for that snowstorm back in February, my neighbors, some of them, they were day one, and we didn't even lose power. Some of them just lost water. Day one, unprepared, couldn't do anything, couldn't function. There was a lady in the Facebook group going crazy and screaming in all caps and at everybody for people hoarding or buying too much at the grocery store. It's like, okay, I get it. You're upset. People are probably buying more than they need. But why aren't you prepared? It's not somebody else's responsibility to ensure that you're prepared for yourself. She was out of diapers. This was day one. She was out of diapers for her kid. I don't have kids, so it's hard for me to comment on that. But I find it crazy. Like, I've never run out of toilet paper. I've always had toilet paper around. Maybe my life is just too simple. It's not complicated enough. Bottom line, be prepared for the smallest of disasters, because small ones turn into big ones. It may not seem like much, but have 2 to 3 weeks worth of food. Yeah, nobody likes eating beans for 2 or 3 weeks, but if it really came down to it, you're going to love those beans. And just go through them. Have a can of beans a week or something like that. That's my 2 cents on that. The final little tidbit of this week's podcast I want to bring up is Joe Biden's recent tweet came out today. Today is Thursday. The rule, he called it. The rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. Thank you, Joe Biden. El Presidente Joe Biden. Where would we be without you and your expert medical advice? This guy, first of all, no, you don't control my life. Especially when, you know, like, you're not allowed to, you know. I know what's best for my health. Parents know what's best for their kids' health. Everybody knows what's best for their own health. If they're going to get the vaccine, they're going to get it. You do not get to tell me to wear a mask or force me to get a mask. This is not some rule that you get to type out on Twitter and think it's a law. Though I'm sure he probably thinks that's how laws are made these days. Based on how many laws he actually got passed in the Senate, one in the 90s. So he's probably convinced this is probably the new way to actually be a president. I think that was one thing that Trump kind of did. Like, oh, you can just be a president via Twitter. And now Biden's taking him to task on that. Who knows? The guy's a clown. Ugh, he's such a clown. Forget you, Joe Biden, and your stupid rules. You don't own me. You don't own anybody. Before I sign off for the week, guys, I want to remind you of the affiliate program that I am a part of, and I want you to be a part of too. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, the upper portion of the page there's a tab for affiliate. Click on it, read about it, and you'll notice that there is a banner there for Bluehost. Bluehost is the hosting service that hosts this website and podcast. So if you go and click on that banner and sign up for a website through Bluehost and let me know about it, you're going to get a great deal. I'm telling you, you're going to get a great deal. Not only are you going to get a discounted price, but you're going to get free advertising on the podcast, the Facebook page, the Instagram, the Twitter, my other personal social medias. You're going to reach thousands of people with free advertising. It's only a one-time plug on all those platforms, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. You're going to have a website at a discounted rate because you signed up through that link. So already you're winning, right? You're almost by winning, just like Charlie Sheen. And then you're going to get that great, great publicity given out here on the Coffee Break Liberty podcast. So go to coffeebreakliberty.com, click on that affiliate tab, and check it out. And signing off here now, guys, I wish Gino was here, but like I said, he is with the borders for right now. I hope you all have a great week and weekend, and I'll talk to you then. Take care.